This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
If you have ever watched a movie at a movie theater when movies were worth watching in movie theaters, I know it's been a while. How many of you have ever gone and you watched a movie and it was just fantastic? It was really great. And you know, that final scene, that final music comes, and then the film ends and the credits start going up the screen. And you just sit there for a little while, just soaking in the moment, the feeling, the grandeur of the film. And how many of you have ever, you just sat there, kind of soaking it in, and you watch and people get up and they just start to leave, and you decide to sit there, and more people leave, and then there's a handful of people left there, and the end credits are going, and all of a sudden they stop, and there's another scene on. It comes on the screen, and all of a sudden, it's like a second movie just starts, and you're sitting there, and you're amazed. You go, wow, I didn't know this was going to happen. And you get to watch that end credit clip that usually gives you a little snippet of something you didn't know, or maybe a little preview for part two that might come around the corner. The interesting thing, if you've ever had that happen, is that if you were to be one of those people who got up and just left, you would not have lacked anything. No, you wouldn't have missed anything. You would have gotten the complete movie, a complete finished plot. It would have been sufficient. What we're doing right now is we're kind of looking at the end clip. Okay, we've gone through the book of Luke. And if we just ended, it would be sufficient. We have, by the grace of God, seen everything sufficient that we need to know for salvation, who Jesus is, what He did, why He came, His life, what He taught, His healings, everything. We've seen His death, we've seen His burial, we've seen His resurrection and His ascension. Everything is sufficient. But what we're looking at right now is the end clip. That little snippet at the end that gives us a deeper nugget of truth. It would be wonderful to just go through the book of Acts, but the Lord has not directed me in that direction. So we're going to look at the epilogue, the end credit, if you will, the end scene. Your bulletins have it called A Friend in Jesus Epilogue. Afterward, I kind of thought of it as Luke in action. Kind of takes what we've seen in the book of Luke and applies it and gives the foundation for what the church is. You see, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Luke wrote the book of Luke. He was a historian. He interviewed all different people who were involved in the life and ministry of Christ under the inspiration of the Spirit. And he also wrote the book of Acts there. If you remember, when we started the book of Luke, he was writing this book to an individual by the name of Theophilus. If you're there in your Bibles, you can see in Acts chapter 1, Luke writes this: "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." So you see there, it's a continuation of the story. Interestingly, the name Theophilus means friend of God. It was on our list of names that we were going to give Phineas. That one didn't make it, which I agree it shouldn't have. Friend of God. And that was the whole theme of going through Luke, was the idea that when we have this relationship with God, in our culture particularly, we tend to think of Jesus as this kind of idea, set of ideas, religious truths and facts, and just a religious affiliation. But what we saw through the book of Luke is that Jesus is a person who came and lived and taught and died and bled. And he wants to be a friend, someone to help us, someone to guide us. In essence, we're to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if anyone does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there's no hope. It's not affiliation with a religion. It's having a relationship with Christ. We're going to look at verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That's part one of this end clip. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall be witnesses. This morning we'll look at the title, the task, and the territory of a witness. First, the title of a witness. What is a witness? When we think of a witness, we think of somebody who has knowledge, experiential knowledge of a certain event, of a certain happening, of something. They have a certain knowledge of it, a first-person experience, a connection to it. And oftentimes we think of a witness in a court setting when, you know, you'll have a court case going on and they'll call to the stand a witness who has first-hand account, has knowledge, information of the crime being discussed. That's what a witness is. And Jesus says, you shall be witnesses to me, or some translation says, you are my witnesses. That's what he said to the disciples. And it's true. The disciples, from day one of Jesus' earthly ministry, they were called. They were called out of their daily routine to be his follower, and they followed him. He went all around to different villages, and they saw him. They were witnesses of his casting out demons. They were witnesses of when he would go and he would heal people. They were witnesses of his amazing teachings that stumped the religious leaders. They were witnesses of all the different places that he went to. A few of them were witnesses of his transfiguration on the mount. They saw him transfigured and all of his deity was exposed and the glory of Christ was seen. They were witnesses of when they went down into the valley and he cast out the demon of the boy. They saw him still the storm. They saw him raise the dead, Lazarus coming out of the tomb. They were witnesses of all of this. And then they were witnesses of when he was crucified. And then they saw him rise from the dead. They saw his resurrected body. And they were staring into the sky moments after this commission when Jesus would ascend into heaven. They were witnesses. Now, we've gone through the book of Luke. You have seen Jesus casting out demons. You have seen Jesus teaching, stumping the religious leaders. You have seen Jesus healing. You have seen Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. You have seen Jesus doing all these things, his crucifixion. You saw him on the cross. You saw him buried in the tomb, and you saw him rise from the grave. Amen. And you saw him ascend into heaven. Amen. You're witnesses. Even further, if you have received the gospel, the transformation of being born again inside your heart, being dead to a life, if you have experienced that, you are a first-hand witness of Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life. Jesus is saying to you, you are witnesses. You have first-hand knowledge, first-hand account of what I did, who I am. If we miss this point, we miss the whole sermon. The idea here is not that witnessing, we often think of witnessing in Christians as something that you do. Okay? Anybody want to go witnessing? Let's go witnessing. Let's go knock on doors or something. But what Jesus is saying is not so much that this is something you do, but this is someone that you are. You are a witness. It is intrinsic to your identity, to my identity. When Christ lays that identity on you, you're changed. You can't go back. When you become a Christian, there's no going back. That is who you are. And when Jesus says you're a witness, you can't go back, you can't change it. That's who He has called you to be. That is who you are. And until we come to that, to the grips of the idea that we are intrinsically made witnesses of Jesus Christ, we won't have motivation to be witnesses, to go witnessing, which we should go and do. Until we come to grips with that's who we are in our core, we won't want to bring it out into the world around us. We won't want to tell the world that we are Christians. Interesting thing about the word witness there. I want you to, if you have your Bibles there, just circle that word, witnesses, in verse 8. Just circle that word. Very interesting word. Circle that word. Jump ahead to Acts chapter 22. We're in the same book of Acts, chapter 22. Many of you remember Stephen. He was one of the first deacons of the church. And he testified before the religious leaders. They got mad and they stoned him to death. He died. Giving testimony, he was killed. Now look at verse 20 of Acts chapter 22. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I, that is Paul, also was standing by consenting to his death. When the blood of your martyr, Stephen, circle that word martyr. Everybody knows what a martyr is. It's somebody who dies being a faithful Christian, giving testimony, they're killed. They're a martyr. We pray for the persecuted church. Many of them are being martyred. That word, witness, in Acts chapter 1, and that word martyr in Acts chapter 22 is the same word in the original. Same word. Jesus is saying, you are my martyrs. That's what He's calling us to be. The only difference between a martyr that we think like Stephen and a martyr perhaps of just everyone else who maybe isn't killed for their faith is that their life isn't cut short. But the idea is the same. What is a martyr? A martyr is somebody who is witnessing to the gospel, and through that witnessing, their death is the final witness. When they're killed, it's like they're saying, I'm dying for Jesus. I'm witnessing to Jesus. Here's my death as a testimony. And if you and I are supposed to be witnesses, if we're supposed to be martyrs, then our lives should be given to testifying to Christ. Maybe we won't be killed, but our lives, our agendas, our goals is to give our lives to be a witness for Christ. What Jesus is telling the disciples and telling us is that we are going to let go of our own lives and we are going to dedicate our lives to spending our lives to attesting to the grace and gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's our ambition. That's our task. Until He comes or until He takes us. Whether we die a good old age or whether we're killed in a foreign country, We are witnesses. We are martyrs. This is a label, in essence, that Jesus is giving. Now, whenever we hear the word witnesses, what do we tend to think of? It's kind of a stereotype. There's a group. There's some in Dodgeville. You hear them knock on your door. You get letters since COVID in the mail. You've gotten letters with different pamphlets and things. What do we think of? Jehovah's Witnesses, right? Right? Isn't it interesting that they have this label called witnesses? And what do we think of when we think of the Jehovah's Witnesses? We think of them witnessing. We think of them going door to door. We think of them standing in crowds with pamphlets ready. We think of them actively sharing their belief system, though we vehemently disagree with it. We associate with them as a witness. It's their label. It's their identity. I know many of us are kind of afraid when they come. They knock on our door and we kind of sometimes hide under the couch and turn the lights off. For me, I get excited. There was one time there were Jehovah's Witnesses walking down that sidewalk. I chased after them. I went to them and I said, I want to talk to you guys. But this is what we associate with them. Now Jesus is saying, you are witnesses. And maybe we don't use the word Jehovah in our daily devotionals, but we are the Lord's. So we are the Lord's witnesses. Isn't that our label? Are we, under that identity, sharing the faith, being a witness to Christ? Is our identity recognized by the community? And I've talked with people, and I've thought this myself. You know, we think of, oh, they're so zealous, they put us to shame, but they just do it for works. You know, they think that they're going to, by being a witness, they're going to earn their way to heaven. And I've thought that, and then I thought to myself afterwards, so what? I mean, what's our excuse? What's my excuse? Sure, they do it because they think that they'll earn their way to heaven, but if I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, I don't have to work my way to heaven, and He calls me to be a witness, shouldn't I be all the more excited and willing and ready to share the gospel to those around? We should put the Jehovah's Witnesses to shame. So we have the title of a witness. Then we have the task of a witness. It's not here in Luke, but before Jesus ascended to heaven, He gave them a task that's associated with that identity. You see, first we need the identity, and then we're given the activity. First comes who we are, then comes what we do. First we realize we are born again Christians, given the power of God through the Holy Spirit, not of works, but of grace. Then we go out and we share the gospel and do what we're called to do. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, you all know it. It's a great commission. Jesus looks at them, He says, you're my witnesses, and He says, go. Go. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That was a great commission. That's the task of a witness. Go make disciples. Expand the kingdom. I've said it before, and you've heard it said by other people, why, when we were saved, Jesus didn't just rapture us off the earth in an instant. I mean, why not? Because Christ has a commission. He has a will. He has a task to use you in this world. Think about it. When you came to Christ, someone, in some way, was a witness to you. Right? Someone, whether it be a relative or a pastor or somebody you heard on the radio or something you read in a book or a friend, a neighbor, any someone who is a follower of Christ came to you. Or a parent or someone showed you the gospel, told you the gospel. It was lived in the life. You saw, you're convicted of your sin. You realize that that's not you. There's something different about them that's not you. You turned, you opened your Bible, you read the scriptures. It said, anyone who believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you repent of your sin. You say, I'm done with that. I turn to you, Jesus, and he saves you. And you're born again and the Holy Spirit comes inside. And you go from darkness to light, from death to life. Someone came to you. Someone came to me. Multiple people came to me. That was a work. It was a witness. The title of a witness is our identity. The task of a witness is our activity. Now, it doesn't make sense if we have this identity and we're not being active in it. That's like saying, I'm a welder. I weld for a full-time occupation. And all I do when you look at my life is sit down in a rocking chair and knitting mittens. And every day I'm knitting mittens and I get the yarn and I buy the right colors and I come and I sit down in the chair and I'm knitting these mittens. And you come to me and say, what are you doing? I say, well, I'm a welder. I weld frames for trucks. And then you look and days go by and you see that person, they're just knitting and mittens. They keep knitting mittens. There's a disconnect there. Do you see the disconnect? Okay, they say, I'm a witness, I'm a welder, and they spend their days knitting mittens. I mean, there's nothing wrong with knitting mittens. Just say, I'm a mitten knitter. That's my identity because that's what I do. But if you sit there and say, I'm a welder and I weld frames for trucks and you spend day in and day out, year after year, knitting mittens in a rocking chair, there's a disconnect. So we as Christians, given the label, the title as witnesses, when people look at our life, are they seeing us knitting mittens in rocking chairs, or are we welding? Are we being a witness? Am I being a witness? Are you being a witness? Is there a disconnect in your life, in my life? Or does it make sense? Now, the task of a witness, it can be tricky because sometimes we think that being a witness is reduced to handing out tracts, knocking on doors, you know, going on a soapbox in a street corner and preaching the gospel. I've done all three. They're witnessing. But we don't want to think that being a witness and witnessing is reduced to those activities, okay? Being a witness is an overarching theme of your life. That when people look at your life, they see an overarching theme of you being a witness. Brother Jeff Roberts, you know him. He comes on and off. Judy's brother here. I was talking to him. He loves sharing the gospel. We're often having conversations about different resources and different things. And he told me something that has stuck with me. And I can't escape it. He told me, you know, I heard someone say once, some people go witnessing, and some people witness as they go. You catch that? He said, some people go witnessing, and that's the way I used to think. I used to think when it comes to witnessing, I have to go witnessing. I have to, you know, I'm at home, I'm doing my life, working, doing this, and then the day, Saturday, we take an hour and we go witnessing. But then he said, some people witness as they go. And the Lord has taken that and has really turned things upside down for me. And is showing me that it's not so much that you, something you just you do, which it is something you do, but your overarching life as you go through the tasks God has for you, testify to the gospel that you've been saved. You testify that you are a Christian. You testify that you have this relationship with Jesus. And when they look at you, they see it in your life. There's a connection. It's not disconnected. They see it. And you witness as you go. Just give an example of that disconnect recently. Through some order of events by God, you know, Bill is involved in political things, and he's had all these connections in recent days that has amazed me. And there was somebody that he knows who invited me, because Bill gave the recommendation, to go to the state capitol in Wisconsin this past Tuesday and testify as to why what election integrity means to me as a pastor. And I felt honored and privileged, and I was able to go. And I thought in my mind, I'm going to go witnessing. I'm going to go, and I'm going to testify to the gospel in some way, you know, also explain about election integrity, but bring in the gospel in some way. And so I went, and the Lord had it happen, and it was a blessing. And I had, you know, tracts that I was going to hand out to people. And I handed out one to a Christian. And as I was leaving, I was walking around the state capitol, and there was this news van there. And there were two gentlemen talking by the news van. And I was walking away, and the Lord prompted me, I want you to share the gospel to them. And I kept walking. You see, there was a disconnect in my mind. I had associated it with going witnessing rather than witnessing as I go. But it does, like I said, it doesn't have to be reduced to handing out tracts. Every one of you have tasks you do throughout your day. You go grocery shopping. Witness as you go. You go to school. Witness as you go. You go to work. Witness as you go. We heard the wonderful testimony recently through email. I don't know if you got it, about Brother Todd bringing up an individual that he works with who whose mother passed away recently, but it opened a door for them to get into a conversation as a co-worker. They got into a conversation. Spiritual things got brought up. Why? Because they were witnessing as they go. They know the Lord Jesus. They were talking about Jesus in their conversation. Well, the recent death of the mother made this woman sensitive, and now she's open to the things of God. And God is at work drawing her, and already brought in another individual into the wonderful chain link of events. This woman's friend is now being brought in and discussing things of the Lord. I remember back in the 2020 election cycle, those were fun months, weren't they? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Those are fun months. Okay, well, a lot of energy, a lot of activity. Well, my mother-in-law was driving down the road, and in Montfort, there was this sign in front of a mechanic shop. And this sign was like rented from the Democrats. I'm not sure. They rented the sign, and it, you know, was promoting their side and all that. And so my mother-in-law went into the mechanic shop to discuss their view with the mechanic, okay? And when she told me this, I just thought, that's my mother-in-law, you know. That makes perfect sense. She has that, you know, inner boldness that comes out. And she went up. I could just picture, you know, the mechanic coming up. And there's my mother-in-law, and she just starts discussing things about the sign and some of the views. And the way she described it to me was that he was so opinionated and so aggressive in his views. She couldn't get a word in. You know, they shared back and forth. Well, eventually, my mother-in-law said, well, you know, I'm here. And she just started bringing up Jesus, you know, saying how, Jesus is our only hope ultimately. And just started sharing the gospel to this individual. Now you see the connection there. You see the chain. Okay, she's a Christian. She's a witness. There she goes to talk about political things because they're just witnessing as they go. Got into this conversation, and she's a Christian. I want to talk about Christ. You see that? It's witnessing as you go. You all have people you know, people you talk to, places you go, individuals you meet. And if this is your identity, I can't stress it enough in my own life, if this is your identity, then that must be your activity. It flows from the next. So we see the task, the title, the task, thirdly, the territory of a witness. The territory of a witness, verse 8 there, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus gives them a territory, you see. He gives them a program, a blueprint for how they as witnesses are to take that task into the world around them. And it started in Jerusalem, basically where they were at. And then he said, as time goes on, that witness that will grow, and it's going to go to the next area next door, which is Judea. Okay? It was a larger area. And then north of Judea was Samaria. And then he said, everywhere. Okay? You're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and everywhere. But notice the steps of that territory. It's where you're at now. It's the place you're located right now. Okay? That's your territory. So I want all of you as witnesses here this morning to think about where you're at now. Where are you? Well, we're in a building. Jesus is saying, you shall be witnesses now, here. And then you'll leave here, you'll go home maybe with your family. Jesus says, you shall be my witnesses there, at home. I think this is another thing that I've noticed with we Christians tend to think of witnessing only to the lost. Only to those who are non-believers. But that's not the case. Okay? We are not only, going back to the welder example, we are not only welders to people who need racks on their trucks, okay? We are welders and to people all around us. And so the idea is that you are to be a witness even to your family members. You are a witness even to the person sitting next to you in the pew, whoever it is. You're a witness to me. You see, Jesus is telling you, I want you to testify of my work in your life to everyone. I want you husbands to testify to the grace of God, the gospel in your life to your wife. I want you wives to testify to the gospel of Jesus Christ to your husbands, to your children. To your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, show them that I'm in you. Testify that I'm working in your life. And then they look, your spouses look at you, your fellow believers sitting next to you look at you and they see, Jesus is there. And that encourages me to want to have this relationship that I see in them that's so beautiful, I want it in me. Jesus is there. You see? Because what often happens, maybe we behave as Christians in church and then we go home and we take the tie off and we throw off our witness. And what does our spouse see? What do our children see? But it starts in the circle and then as the glorious gospel expands and grows, it incorporates a person, a family, a church unit, and then a community, and then a area, and it expands and it grows and it spreads. I almost want to compare it to COVID, but I don't. Because it spreads everywhere. Now, I want to be cautious because there is a special call for the missionary movement. I want to be cautious here because I don't want to give the impression that you shouldn't, relocate. Just bloom where you're planted. You shouldn't go somewhere else. I would love so much, for whatever time God has me here, I would love so much to see God raise someone from the group and say, I have received the call of God. I'm going to India. I would love that so much. I would love to see God raise some. Maybe God's stirring in your heart something. I don't know. Maybe there's something working in your life right now that only you and God knows. But there is a call for the missionary movement to be relocated and to plant the gospel seeds where it is not planted. But don't let the missionary movement replace the call for each of us to be witnesses in our own areas. We're all missionaries, in a sense. Because the Holy Spirit has come from heaven and sent you here. Just think about it, okay? Think about this and we'll close in a second. Think about this. If you just imagine, you got the call to go to, say, Iran. You got the call to go to Iran. You say, I'm going to be a faithful witness. I'll probably be a martyr. God has called me to go. Okay? You go to Iran as a Christian. Now, I want you to picture yourself in the middle of a city in Iran. You know, you've got your job. You're kind of laying low. You're doing your thing. Now, just picture that mentality. What is your mentality? Your mentality is, I'm here as a witness to the gospel. Lord, I'm working to make money so I can eat, and I'm trying to build relationships with people around me. I'm trying to build these relationships, and I'm trying to, share with them nuggets of truth so that they know that I'm a Christian and that they can be drawn to it, okay? That's your whole mentality, day in and day out. Okay, I want for all of us to take that mentality out of Iran and put it in Dodgeville, right here. Right here, right now. I want us all to take that mentality and say, okay, I'm here in Dodgeville, or wherever I live. Okay, I'm working, I gotta make funds so I can provide for my family and make sure that, but there are people, there are neighbors around me, and we've got a good group here, we can encourage one another, but I gotta leave this church and I've gotta go, and we think about how we are gonna spread the gospel. Do you see that shift? Brothers and sisters, Jesus said, you shall be witnesses. You shall be martyrs. Whether it's Iran or Dodgeville, you shall be martyrs. I close with this illustration. I saw a video once. There were a group of scuba divers that were in the ocean or body of water, very deep. And there were a bunch of scuba divers, and all of a sudden, the one scuba diver had a GoPro camera on so you could see clearly what was going on. There was no blurriness, it was very clear. And all of a sudden, the camera turned, and there was one scuba diver there who was a woman. For whatever reason, her tank failed. Either she ran out of oxygen, or maybe there was some malfunction. And the camera turned to her, and you could see her eyes were as wide open as a human being could possibly have. As wide open as they could. And her mouth was just moving rapidly, opening and closing, not knowing what to do. And the person with the camera swam up to her and took his mask off, and And she can't see because she doesn't have goggles on. It's just her face. And he's shoving it in her mouth, trying to, and she's thrashing and he's shoving it, trying to get her to breathe. And suddenly the connection is made and she grabs hold of it and she's breathing. And then they have the safety device, I guess, where it's like an airbag. You deploy it and it's a balloon and you start shooting up. And so they start rising up fast and fast and fast. And you just feel the tension, the adrenaline is running as you're watching this. All of a sudden they emerge from the surface and she just gasps for breath. She's there, they're safe. When I saw that video and I thought of us as being martyrs, I kind of thought of it this way. You have only so much oxygen in this life. You have only so much breath. You have only so much in the tank. And when Christ calls us to be witnesses, He doesn't mean that we take the tank and we put it in our mouth and we just swim along and enjoy the... Well, look at the coral reef. It's so pretty. Look at the little fishies. There's a whale. How nice when all around us there are people gasping for breath. People whose tanks have failed. They tried sex, they tried drugs, they tried anything and everything. Prosperity, wealth, atheism, New Age spirituality. And you can tell they're just gasping for breath. And you've got air. The more air you give to those people, the less you have for yourself. And the less I have for myself. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus says you are witnesses, He's saying, give your air. Give it out. Give it to other people. Save them. Get them up. Get to the surface. You shall be witnesses. It's a title. It's an identity. It's a task. It's what you do. And there's a territory where you are. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. If it was not for your word, we'd be so unsure of how to go about this life. Father in heaven, I pray that you would give us each a deep burden, a deep burden. For those who need to hear the glorious truth of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that our lives would testify to that, that we would testify that we have been saved. We are born again, there's a new life in us. Please, Father God, I pray that you would use us as witnesses. And Lord, I ask for us as a collective group of Christians in this building that we call Faith Fellowship, I pray that for us as a collective group, you would lay on our hearts the burden to reach this area. This is our territory. Please, Father God, lay on us a collective vision, a collective burden, and a collective task to do what we are called to do. Father God, please bless us. And I pray if anyone here does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would receive you now. I pray that they would lay aside their works and efforts and that you would show them that it's only you. It's only you. Please, Father God, may they receive you as Lord and Savior. May you save them from their sins. May they turn away from those sins and turn to you, Lord God. Father God, for your glory, make us witnesses, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.